This is the Chad Little Podcast.
James Critland is a radio futurologist. He runs the media information website media.info. He also publishes podnews.net, a daily briefing on podcasting, and writes a weekly international radio trends newsletter. James, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So I read your newsletters weekly, well, Pod News daily, and it seems when I read your newsletters, you are always traveling somewhere to a radio conference. You stay busy. You're
kind of feels like that sometimes. Yes, you're right.
You're somewhere all the time. So where are you currently?
Well, when I started working for myself, which was about 10 years ago, I was talking to a radio consultant, and he said, make a big deal of whenever it is that you're working for somebody, because you won't be working for somebody very much, and it's useful to actually highlight when you're traveling. So that's one of the reasons why I do that. But I'm at home in sunny Australia, in Brisbane here. So, and it's a beautiful, warm, sunny day as ever.
Australia is a place I have always wanted to visit. It is on my bucket list. It looks so beautiful.
I was going to say it's not that far away. I'd be lying. It's a long way away.
That's exactly why.
But it's a very nice place to be.
Looks so beautiful. So beautiful. So tell me about you, though. When I read your newsletters, you're always sharing what is occurring around the world in radio and podcasting, but I'm really curious about hearing your background. How did you make it to the point where you were able to start working for yourself to be your own boss about 10 years ago?
Yeah, so I mean, I've worked in radio and audio for the last 30 years, and I've worked for lots of different companies, mostly in the UK. As you can tell, I'm a Brit. And I was working as a radio presenter, and I used to write radio commercials for a living. Went to work for a company called Virgin Radio in London, and ended up running their website and launching what ended up being the first mobile phone app that would stream a radio station back in 2005, as well as the first daily podcast from a radio station. And did that for a while, worked at the BBC for a little bit because, you kind of have to. It's the world's largest broadcaster after all. And then ended up thinking, I can probably work for tons of people across the world and see a bit of the world as well. So that's what I ended up doing about 10 years ago now.
So in your travels around the world to different radio markets, What are some current trends and technological developments that you are seeing in international markets outside of the US?
Well, I mean, I think, I think firstly, radio is really interesting that historically we've always looked at just our own market, and we've normally looked at just our own town, because that's how radio used to work, of course. And now radio is very international, and you can sit there and listen to 10,000 different stations from across the world on your smart speaker. So, that's certainly a change. I think, what we're seeing in lots of different countries is that people are consuming radio in very different ways now. It used to be that radio was just AM and FM and radio was just live. Now there's lots of consumption on the internet. There's HD radio and satellite radio in the States. There's DAB radio in many other parts of the world as well, which people are consuming radio on, as well as, through the TV and other ways. And smart speakers are a big part of radio's future as well, with, tons of listening happening on smart speakers as well. So I think what we're really seeing is a change away from radio just being AM, FM, just being something that you listen to in the car if you're in North America, changing from that to being something that you listen to, in many different ways on many different devices, and quite often on demand as well as live.
I know here in the States, I've read some articles about the number of minutes that people are listening to radio over the air is in decline. Now, that doesn't mean they're not listening. They're just listening online, on the apps, on their website streams. But because of this trend toward streaming technologies, toward streaming music, Pandora, Spotify, for example, do you see a day when some radio stations may turn off their tower and go online only, streaming only in, say, major markets?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're seeing a little bit of that, and there are radio stations that have made that choice, particularly if you're a radio station on AM, which, you know, isn't a fantastically good sounding method of broadcasting, and it's also getting harder to buy AM radios. So I think we're seeing a little bit of that. I think, you know, what we are certainly seeing is moving away from, you know, I mean, AM in particular. I should also point out that AM has been turned off in most parts of Europe as well. But we are also seeing, actually, you know, moving away from FM. So Norway was the first country to turn off FM almost completely a couple of years ago. So now if you want to listen to the radio, you're still listening to broadcast radio. It's a thing called DAB, which is, you know, a radio that you would go out and buy. But it's a different way of broadcasting radio. It gives people far more choice. But it's a, you know, new way of broadcasting radio, and they've turned the old one off. And my suspicion is that we will see more of that in years to come. Switzerland has just announced that they're going to be turning off FM in the next couple of years as well. You know, so certainly that sort of thing is going on. And, you know, I think actually when you look at what people call radio in North America, and particularly in the US, it's a very much more narrow definition to what people call radio across the rest of the world. So if you're listening to a radio station that just happens to be online, you're still listening to the radio. In the US, it's kind of thought of as a different thing. And certainly if you were to include things like satellite radio, which again is just radio, it's just broadcast in a slightly different way, then the US radio industry would actually look far more healthy than it currently is. So it's a weird definition, I think, that's going on in the U.S. versus almost everywhere else.
Yeah, the U.S. radio market, it is heavily consolidated. You have just a handful of major companies that own most of the radio stations. Not a lot of mom and pop radio operations left in the States. Are other markets as consolidated as the U.S. market, or are there more locally owned radio stations in other in international markets?
I think it depends which market you have a look at, but certainly if you look at places like Australia or the UK or indeed Canada, then yeah, you can still see lots of radio stations which are owned by two or three major broadcasters. So, you know, in Canada, for example, Rogers, Bell and Stingray own most of the large major market stations. There are still, you know, a fair amount of community stations out there. There are still a fair amount of independently run radio stations, as there are in the US as well. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, you need scale. Scale really comes from owning a bunch of stations across, you know, across a country, which actually makes it, you know, easier to produce great sounding radio. But also, you know, clearly will take some of the very local feel out of a station as well.
Do you ever see a trend back toward localism in U.S. and international radio markets, or is it pretty much the future now is consolidated radio?
I think they're two different things. So I think you can be consolidated while still being local. There are plenty of radio groups and radio companies doing that. I think on the other side, I would query whether live and local, which is the mantra that US radio has been using for a long time, I would question whether that is actually relevant to us in the future. you know, I'm not sure that people necessarily care whether their radio station is live or indeed local. I think what they actually care is, are the real human beings there, and is what they're talking about relevant to me? And it might be relevant if they're talking about local things going on, but it also might be relevant if they're talking about things going on that I'm interested in. So I'm not necessarily sure that live and local is the be-all and end-all. I think that real and relevant radio, or, you know, I have a definition of radio, which is a shared experience with a human connection. And I think that that's very much what radio offers, that things like Spotify and Pandora don't offer. But that shared experience, that human connection, is something that can happen on a local level and can happen with a community of common interest as well.
You mentioned other countries are turning off their AM radio stations. Here in the United States, you still have some fairly large AM stations that in major markets that are in the top 10 for billing. Now, granted, they have an FM signal now, a lot of them, but where does AM radio fit in the digital future? Will there be a place for AM radio?
The easy answer is, of course, there'll still be a place for AM. The more complex answer is, I'm not sure that AM has much of a future for music radio at all. I think when you're looking at talk radio, I think that perhaps it has part of a future in more rural areas, but certainly in built-up areas. You know, if you try listening to an AM radio in a big city, it's getting harder and harder because you have much more things that are producing interference for the signal. If you try listening to an AM radio and you've got LED lights, for example, then that doesn't really work. There's a great big sort of buzz that goes over everything. So, so I think AM has significant issues. Here in Australia, it's again a different conversation where you have the major capital cities where, again, I'm not sure that AM has much of a future, but you've then got the big rural areas, you know, the bush, inland, which, you know, clearly has a benefit in terms of AM because it carries a long, long way. It's, it's a very robust signal, even if it doesn't sound the best that it possibly can do. Certainly more robust than streaming on a mobile phone is. So I think that there are different conversations to have in different markets and different conversations to have in different areas of each country as well, I think. Yeah.
It seems a trend here in the United States is that a lot of radio companies are investing heavily into podcasting, buying out podcasting companies. Is that a trend that's occurring in other markets? You have your big broadcasters that are investing in podcasting, buying out podcasting companies?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, that's certainly happening in other countries. So, for example, here in Australia, you have one of the large radio groups which owns Podcast One here in Australia. So they have bought in a ton of podcasts as well as make their own under the Podcast One brand, which is also a brand in the US as well. You have a look at another one who are helping to sell advertising within podcasts as well as make their own as well. So, you know, I think you can certainly see that going on. And I think, you know, the more that you look into many European countries, you can see that the larger broadcasters are running the most popular podcasts there, as you would kind of expect, because actually, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of talk programming that happens, in Europe, and that works very well as a podcast as well as a live radio show. But I think, you know, what we're also seeing is new entrants into the podcast market, which is, changing how you have a look at that. So one of the most popular podcasts here in Australia last year was The Teacher's Pet, which was a podcast from a newspaper. And, you know, that is a tremendously popular thing and didn't necessarily need a radio company behind it to actually get that out there. So, you know, I think what's interesting when you start looking at podcasting, and actually when you start looking at online radio, is you get this level playing field where anybody can actually take part in it. And the established broadcasters that used to have a benefit because they had a tower now has no particular benefit other than the fact that they have hopefully great people that understand great radio. But, you know, anybody can produce a podcast from anywhere, really. So that's, I think, one of the exciting things about where podcasting is going. Yeah.
So outside the U.S., where is podcasting growing the most? Which market?
It's an interesting question to ask, because if you look at raw numbers, then China, South Korea, India particularly are doing really well in terms of podcasting. If you look at where the growth is, much of the growth, I think, is actually in countries where English is spoken well. So I'm not just talking about the UK. Obviously, we speak better English than you guys do in the UK. Only joking. But also, you know, Australia and Canada, obviously. But also having a look at many of the European countries as well. So Sweden, for example, Denmark, the Netherlands, where they speak English just as well as they speak their own languages as well, you can see that podcasting is growing there at a faster pace than countries such as Spain or Germany, which, you know, don't historically speak English as well. So I think that there's certainly that which is going on. But you can also see on the other side companies who are getting a little bit more canny on that. So both Spotify, Wondery, iHeart are all beginning to produce podcasts in other languages because they see that there's real opportunity there for, you know, a French language, a German language, a Spanish language podcast as well. You know, so there's an interesting amount of growth. And I think also, you know, you need to bear in mind that in some countries, there are very strong public radio companies, such as the BBC in the UK, obviously, or the CBC in Canada, which have almost an unfair share of the podcast market because they have such great shows which can be repackaged very easily into podcasts. They've done, you know, fairly well. And that has arguably stunted growth in those countries. But I think that we're beginning to see a bit more growth from independent podcasters as well there.
And where do you see the podcast industry in, say, 5 to 10 years? Will it be as revenue-based, just looking at revenue, as large as radio, or will it eventually, do you believe, surpass radio?
I mean, I've got no idea what's going to happen in 10 years' time, but the good news is neither do you and neither do anybody else. So, you know, so there is always that. I think if you take a look at where radio is, if you look at next year, for example, radio is likely to be in the US a $16 billion revenue market. So $16 billion going into advertising on radio. Podcasting, less than $1 billion. So podcasting, far, far smaller. And I think that will continue for some time. Podcasting is forecast to be just over $1 billion in 2021. But, you know, it's still got a lot to catch up with in terms of radio. Now, radio is also forecast to go down in the next few years. So what you may see is money coming away from radio and going into the podcast world. And that's, again, another reason why, you know, companies like Entercom and iHeart have spent a lot of money in terms of podcasting, because they see that as being an opportunity to arrest any decline that they get in their radio revenues as well. I think if you look further away, hopefully we will see a mix of revenue models. We'll see advertising being in there, but advertising isn't right for everybody. And I'm hoping that we see more subscription-based podcasts. It's not very easy to do at the moment, but my suspicion is that we'll see rather more of that happening in the future, as well as podcasts that earn their money from, you know, other ways, from doing live tours, from doing merchandise, from doing listener-supported stuff and all of that kind of thing as well. And I think that's probably, you know, again, one of the exciting things around podcasting is that you can actually see there being a great opportunity there for different models in the, in the revenue field as well.
And that's going to wrap up the show. I want to thank James Cridland for coming on. Visit james.cridland.net to subscribe to his weekly radio newsletter and podnews.net to subscribe to his daily podcasting newsletter. Until next time, I'm Chad Whittle. Thank you for listening.
Subscribe to the Chad Whittle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, or listen at chadwhittle.com. The Chad Whittle Podcast with Chad Whittle. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.